I'd like to call the House Transportation Committee to order. Time is 1:37 on Thursday, February 23rd. Members present are Co-Chair Stutes, Representative Drummond, Representative Clayman, Representative Kopp, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Newman, and myself, Chair Wool. We do have a quorum. Please silence your cell phones. We're allowing electronic devices. If you have any communication with the committee, do so through our committee staff, Laura Steidolf. Also like to thank Heather Evoy, Transportation Committee Secretary, and Summers Cole from the Juneau LIO. Our first order of business is House Bill 131, Federal Relocation Assistance, sponsored by this committee. We have heard this bill before. If there are no further questions from committee members, I'd like to entertain a motion to pass it out of committee. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to remove House Bill 131 out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Mr. Chair, I couldn't hear which bill it was.
131.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any objections?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Newman.
Just object for discussion, please.
Purpose of discussion, we have an objection.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd ask if the commissioner, if I could work with him on an issue that we have constituencies on federal centerline highways projects, and I talked to you earlier about that. I did meet with our legislative liaison, and we'll continue to work on that issue as this bill moves along. So thank you for your assistance on that, and I will remove my objection.
Thank you. Seeing no further objections, we will take it at ease and let members sign their report. Order. Our next order of business is House Bill 60, Motor Fuel Tax. We'll be taking amendments and voting on them today. Members will find two amendments, and I believe there'll be a third amendment as well. So the first one up is Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one, and I would like to have my transportation committee aide speaking to amendment number one, please.
I will object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Matt Greening, staff to the Senate or House Transportation Committee. this amendment corrects an error in the drafting of the CS. We had intended when we came out with the work draft to have the 3-cent rebate only apply to commercial fishing vessels and vessels actively engaged in commercial fishing. Unfortunately, the term commercial watercraft was used, which enveloped a lot of other types of activity we weren't trying to give a rebate to. So this clarifies that. It also puts into the bill a definition of what commercial fishing means. That's the taking of fishing for or possession of fish, shellfish, or other fisheries resource with the intent of disposing for them for profit or by sale. So that is the gist of the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Greening. Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I believe this is appropriate time under this objection or whatever. I do have a conceptual amendment to the amendment to offer, if I may.
Okay. I will object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I think staff passed out an amendment that says, for the purpose of this chapter, commercial fishing vessel means home vessel registered in the state that is engaged in catching and methods and means of saltwater fisheries resource. And, Mr. Chair, the reason for this was to ensure that the reduction in rates, which I do support the amendment, is based for Alaska-based vessels, and so that we're targeting Alaska-based vessels and not non-Alaska-based vessels. But we have just got word back from legal that this could have some issues with the Interstate Commerce Clause, and we don't want to end up owing $70 million like we did a couple of years ago. It's the state versus Olson, I guess. So we'll continue to work on this issue. Mr. Chair, I do appreciate the opportunity to offer this conceptual amendment. I will withdraw this amendment, but I'll have it for purposes of discussion to show that we should be using this based on Alaska-based vessels. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will withdraw my objection.
Thank you, Representative Newman. You withdraw your conceptual amendment.
Conceptual amendment.
Yes.
Thank you,
okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any Representative Sullivan Leonard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a quick question. You know, many times when you see commercial fishing, you're thinking of the commercial aspect out in Bristol Bay or other ocean vessels. So in this reference, commercial fishing, would that pertain to the Upper Cook Inlet fishing businesses that we have, our sport fishing and tourism groups? Is that encapsulated in this?
I can guess an answer to it, but I'll let Representative Stutes, whose amendment it was. So.
It does not encapsulate them, and the reason that it does not encapsulate them is they do not pay the same fees, whether it be licensing fees of any kind or permit fees, that commercial fishermen are required to pay. They pay no raw fish tax across the docks. Their fishing licenses are substantially reduced, and consequently, the fee structure on a sport fisherman is not near equivalent to the fees that a commercial fisherman pays.
Okay, just follow up, sir.
Representative Sullivan.
My understanding, though, is that they do pay an increase in fuel taxes for their particular businesses. Isn't that correct, Mr. Chair?
I would imagine if they're paying the same fuel price as everyone else, that they would pay the same fuel tax as everyone else.
So they, I'm sorry, through the chair. So in essence, then, they will absorb the increase for their businesses but not have the benefit of other fishing commercial businesses throughout the state.
I believe the intent was to use the revenues from the taxes for harbors and ports, so they probably will see some of that if they have their boat in a harbor or port. This is just a rebate for a certain class of individuals or companies that have fishing as their primary business, and also of a certain size, and again, Representative Stutes could probably answer to that better.
And Mr. Chairman, I think that's my most concern, is the fact that one group is seeking a rebate over and above another group that actually has a business that surrounds fishing business of their own. So you have kind of an inequity there. Anyway, that's my objection.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to speak again.
Yes.
On this discussion, as per Representative Stutes, yes, maybe their licenses are cheaper, but they still are a commercial operator who have to comply with all the commercial licenses and registrations that apply with them. And although their fees may be different on that, they also use a lot less of Alaska resources. A commercial guide, a sport fishing guide, probably doesn't catch near the fish that a commercial fisherman would be catching, which are those resources that belong to all Alaskans and out of that fishery. And so I think I will, to do what we can to support commercial fishing all around the state. We recently have had an economic impact study done here 6 years ago. We have over $1.25 billion worth of impact at the time through sport fisheries into the state, and just in the Cook Inlet region, over $750,000. And this is spread around the state, hugely popular in southeast and in southwestern Kodiak, with the sport fisheries and commercials. But these are still people who have to have a commercial license. Their boat can only be used for commercial fishing. They can't use it for anything but that. And they have to get all the licenses and everything else that everybody else does. So I think that they are a commercial operator. So we'll continue to work on that. But thank you for the discussion, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. I agree they're commercial operations. I think initially the intent was having to do with the impending fishing tax, which I don't think sport fishermen are paying fishing tax. But, again, we can take this up at a later time.
If I could respond to that, Mr. Chair, please. That's absolutely correct. There is an anticipated increase in the interim use permits by way of lifting lid off the CFEC permits, and there is also an impending fisheries tax, none of which will affect the sport fishermen. The currently, the commercial fisheries pay off the top a 3% raw fish sales tax, of which 1.5% goes to a local municipality, which supports the infrastructure of those local communities, of which sport fishers use but do not contribute to by way of any taxing.
So there's, we're just kind of trying to equal the playing field, being that currently commercial fishermen pay substantially more in the way of taxing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Is the objection maintained? I guess I object for conceptual reasons, yeah. I removed my objection. So are there any further objections?
I'll object.
Okay. We have an objection from Representative Sullivan Leonard. I believe we'll take a roll call vote. And
the objection?
Excuse me?
Representative
Salmon?
No,
I don't need to.
Yes.
Representative Pop?
Yes.
Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Newman?
Yes.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Co-Chair Wolf?
Yes.
Co-Chair Stoops?
Yes.
With a vote of six yeas and one nay, the amendment passes. With no objection, amendment number one is adopted. We have a second amendment from Representative Kopp. We have a motion, please.
I will move my amendment, Mr. Chair, amendment D1.
I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment is in response to testimony we heard from the trucking industry, from the aviation industry, asking us to not go too fast with this, but, you know, I think we heard a mixture of support and great caution from them about how quickly and dramatically this increase is going. And so, Mr. Chairman, what this does is it keeps intact the governor's budget as it's proposed, because it does include this in this coming fiscal year, the first $40 million infusion. And so it leaves that amount entirely intact. And what it does is it speaks only to the portion of the act that takes effect July 1st, 2019 on the second increase, and it would limit that to 50% of what has been recommended. So the amendment just goes right down. It starts in Section 4, addresses motor fuel tax increase going from, instead of 16 cents to 24, go from 16 cents to 20 cents. Aviation gasoline would go to 14.1 cents, and motor fuel used in watercraft to 15 cents. And then we see that again repeated in Section 6. And then the rebate is also, instead of going from 12 cents to an 18-cent rebate, the rebate is from 12 cents to 15 cents. So I think a couple things are going on, Mr. Chairman. We've added legislative intent in here, which I think is great. We know that's a little, it's not as prescriptive as statutory law, but it's also hard to put that in statute. I think it gives us a chance to really see how this is working out. And as far as the dollar amount, I think it's being responsive to industry concerns about giving them time to change their business model to see if they can absorb these costs themselves, pass them on to consumers, passengers, or how that's going to look. And it doesn't go too much too fast. I also would recognize that if in 2 years the department feels like we really do need more money in this fund, you know, we'll have a much better idea what our revenue situation is in 2 years. They can always come back and say, you know, actually, we really would like that increase. And finally, I would say that I think it is, you know, our committee's job to look at everything we can do to put out the best bill possible and not bet our hopes that the next committee will address something to the same level maybe that we'd like to see it. And I just think it's reasonable, Mr. Chairman. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. Any further comments? Representative Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say I appreciate Representative Kopp's diligence in this. I think it's very conscientious to our constituents and to our industry as well. I think for people to absorb such a large tax initially without the thought of the ramifications down the road, I think, are pretty harsh. I think this at least softens that blow, and I support his amendment here. Thank you.
Representative Clayman, then Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the spirit with which Representative Kopp has introduced this amendment. I think the challenge is that we have a fairly massive fiscal challenge in front of us as a state, and I think that, I know last year this was in front of us slightly different. It was going to bump up to 24 cents right away, and I think moving it, and now we've changed it so it bumps up one, the step, first step is this year, and then 2 years later it will bump up again. And at least as I look at the current financial situation of the state, we think I think that we need that second bump up. I don't really see a solution in terms of continuing to support our highways and other infrastructure without both steps. And so while I do appreciate the spirit with which this is offered, I'm also cognizant that it's been more than 30 years since we were able to actually address a motor fuel tax, and even with the second step, we will still be below the national average in terms of fuel tax. And so for that reason, at this point, I'm not ready to support going for different numbers than what's in the original bill. But I really appreciate his thoughts on the amendment.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be a no on this amendment. Not that I don't appreciate an attempt to try and reduce the increase, but I do not support the increase at all. We have over 34,000 Mansfield Valley residents have to drive 100 miles round trip every day. And when we look at these different taxations and we talk about it, I've heard everybody in this building talk about it. I want to make sure we have something that's fair and that's something that's balanced if we're going to have taxes. And we haven't come up with a solution yet. There's talk about maybe a 20-mile, you can get deductions and stuff. We haven't figured out a mechanism to be able to do that yet. But the bottom line is it's not fair for 34,000 of us Mansfield Valley residents who have to drive to Anchorage every day to support our state's economy, to keep the wheels moving in this state. And now these people are going to be paying hundreds of dollars a month extra in taxes because of this. And how do we say that this is a balanced and fair situation on that? And I understand that they use the highways. We all use the highways. But, Mr. Chair, it's still an increase, and I do not support this increase. So thank you, Mr. Chair. So.
Thank you. Well,
may I wrap up, Mr.
Well, I was going to make a comment myself, and I understand where you're coming from, and I almost, Representative Clayman made an important point, which was we haven't raised these taxes in motor fuel tax since the 70s, I believe. So as much as I'd like to say, well, if we need more later, we can do it again, I'm not sure that's going to be so simple. Also, I was in support of taking a year between the two increases to soften the blow. This does that as well, but maybe doing both is it's a tough call, and I think the state needs revenue, and if we remove $20 million out of this increase, I feel like we're going to have to remove $20 million. Somewhere else to make up for it, but anyway, I'll let you wrap up, Representative
okay,
Kopp.
Yeah.
Oh, Representative Stutes, I'm sorry.
Representative Kopp, I like your idea. Basically, unfortunately, I have to agree that we've got this huge hole. I really, really liked your idea, as you can see by incorporating it into the previous amendment of skipping a year. I think that was superb, and that was came from you. I want to give you full credit for that, because that was a good idea, and I appreciate it. And I like my co-chair here. I would love to just have the one increase, but unfortunately, it just doesn't always work out that way. And you see a lot of things that say, "Gee, if oil goes up, and what about?" It's time that we start figuring out what money we have and spend what we can generate, not what we might get. So I appreciate your efforts, as you well know. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I can certainly count votes. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. Before you wrap up, if Representative Drummond has something to...
That's quite all right, Mr. Chair. I was perfectly willing to let the dialogue continue.
Okay.
And then I'll make my comment.
Okay.
I'll save it for wrap-up.
Well, someone has to speak.
Representative
Drummond. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I grew up in a place that has high sales taxes, income taxes. I've been gone from New York City since 1976. Well, guess what? The population in New York City is growing. People pay all kinds of taxes for the privilege of living in a community that's supported by all kinds of taxes and fees and tolls and blah, blah, blah. I would like to get some numbers straight here. The representative from Big Lake talked about hundreds of dollars in additional fuel taxes for his constituents who drive, I'm figuring, 25,000 miles a year. If it's 100 miles a day, 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year, I get 25,000 miles. I'm guessing that the average vehicle on the road between Big Lake and or Wasilla and Anchorage gets, say, 25 miles a gallon. I'm coming up with $160 a year in additional fuel taxes in the first iteration of this, House Bill 60. I know there's going to be trucks. They're using thousands and thousands of gallons, but a passenger vehicle doesn't use that much gas. I'd just like to get the numbers straight, that it's not that large of a cost. It's expensive to commute. That's life. You know, we might want to get commuter rail started between the Valley and Anchorage. This might influence some people to move forward on that. I know the railroad is in a position where they can institute light rail and get people into Anchorage faster. There's a number of ways to do this to avoid these kinds of costs, but that's not the purview of this particular bill. I'd just like to get the numbers straight on a commute, on an average commute of 50 miles each way every day. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If I may interject, Representative Drummond, there was a handout. I don't know if you saw this, but it gives exactly the numbers. 25,000 miles per year, 25 miles per gallon. After the second increase, it would be $240 a year additional. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair. You stole my thunder.
About $5 a week, a little less. So,
and in which case, Mr. Chairman, I might suggest making your own latte at home will save you that $5, so you can spend the $5 on the motor fuel tax. I save thousands of dollars a year by making my own lattes instead of stopping at the local espresso shop. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do appreciate the comments about getting the railroad going on passenger. I'd rather have them taking money that way than the way they're trying to up and down the track now. But so in wrap up, Mr. Chairman, this would still permit a $60 million infusion into our economy, $40 million now, and then, of course, another 20 in 2 years. On a good note, the oil projections were 6% low, where production is still going through the line, so hopefully our revenue situation will be a little better than as bleak as we think it could be. But I appreciate the comments that everybody made. Thank you, Co-Chair Stutes, for those remarks. And that's all I have. I think even though we are a very low price as far as tax state, the amendment wasn't so much arguing where we're at in the tier of states. It's just the fact that the business does model its plan on where we are, and when we change it rapidly, it does cause them to have to readjust. It's really not their fault that we're a low price state.
Sure.
So just be more cognizant of that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I will remove my objection.
Okay. Thank you. And Representative Klayman maintains an objection. Representative Newman, do you have a comment?
If there was further objections, I was going to object. Mr.
Okay. So we have an objection. And if we could take a roll call.
Representative Drummond.
No.
Representative Clayman?
No.
Representative Kopp?
Yes.
Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Co-Chair Stutes?
No.
Co-Chair Wolf?
No.
Six nays.
I should have just left my objection. I'm so used to removing them.
6 yeas and 1 nay. The amendment is not adopted. And we have a third amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Newman?
Am I back?
6 yeas and 1 nay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Six nays
and 1 yea.
I think he had it right the first time.
Yeah. I did? Okay.
You're jumping for joy.
The amendment does not pass. Okay. And we have a third amendment. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We want to make sure people know who's talking. Mr. Chair, I offer amendment number 3.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. An explanation of amendment number 3. It looks fairly long, but that's the legal jargon we have because of each different tax that has to be discussed in this. But what it does is basically if the average price, which is based, we do it on average now, if the average price per barrel for North Slope crude oil for sale in the United States West Coast, North Slope crude West Coast, during the previous calendar year is more than $85, then the tax would be suspended. So when the price of oil gets above $85, increase in gasoline tax would be suspended.
Okay. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the intent of this, but being what we've been through in the last couple years, I really would like to see this state on a sustainable pathway, not based on whether oil's up or down, based on what we can afford and have a budget on it. And if oil goes up, then maybe we can have a pretty fat savings account once again, and we can continue on with our capital improvements that need to be made. So I again want to say I really appreciate the spirit of this, but I'm not going to be able to support it for those reasons. Thank you.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I find this to be a very reasonable amendment with the thought that, you know, we do understand that oil prices do go up and down. I don't think we want to tax our residents to a point that it's onerous. So to provide some relief to those that are either on the marine highway system, commuting, what have you, I think a little bit of relief doesn't hurt. That way, it flows exactly how the oil and gas structure would go. And giving just a little bit of relief, I think, is actually a nice thing to do. I think it's actually responsible. You know, taxation is difficult. People in my area will be affected. And I think they would look forward to just a small sense of responsibility to their area, to my area, if at all it could happen. So I would support this amendment. Thank you.
Any other comments? Representative Newman.
Just wrap up on a couple of comments on a couple of discussions. Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity. It was talked about the current price, and I understand that, but when the price of oil is, I don't know, it's probably somewhere around $100 an hour now, the balanced budget will happen. We've seen this cyclic action going on within the state, and basically, how did we get here? You know, we're facing the budget dilemmas we are now because the price of oil dropped down below $30 a barrel. You know, the legislature did have a balanced budget at around $96 a barrel. So we were there. And we've also made significant reductions in the last few years. So I suspect that is going down even further. I know last year when we passed the budget, we were on the equivalent of the same per capita budget based on inflation that we were in 1977. You know, so the bottom line, the state was spending per capita adjusted for inflation as we were in 77. So we have made some very significant reductions. So I expect that the price with all the other taxes that are going on out there, use of the permanent fund dividend, these other bills that are out there, I suspect that we can continue to reduce this budget. I think I've heard everybody in this building talk about doing that and making sure that we have a long-term sustainable budget that is at a lower level so that we all understand the cyclic, and the increase the value of this budget every year, the harder that's going to be. And we've all worked very hard to reduce this budget. And I think we can get there. But I think that it sends a signal to industry that we can relax some of these taxes, that the state doesn't need to continue to bring these monies in when we got the money from royalties and corporate taxes that we do have coming in. And is it the state's job to sit there and bank money when we have enough to pay the budgets, when we're going into recession? I understand the needs of the state and the capital and how we need to create an industry or an environment in this state to attract industry to invest their capital dollars. We don't have capital dollars. We need to create a good business environment for them to do that. And by doing indicators like this to show that we're not going to go to industry and every time there's a price in oil that we're going to be jacking prices around and taxes and stuff like that, I'd like to say that to show industry that we will maintain a balanced budget, fiscal restraint in what we do, and instead of just increasing taxes as that continues to go up. And I think that this sends a message of fiscal restraint that when we do reach a price that I think is probably more than enough money to sustain our budget, that we should not be collecting taxes from people like that. I think that's particularly going into recession, and we're taking this money out of the economy during the start of this recession. We expect at least 3 to 5 years, and we're just coming into it, Mr. Chair. And I just feel that it's just a very wrong decision to be taking this money out of the economy, particularly if we didn't have to and we were meeting the state's needs when we were hitting into a recession. And so that's why I wanted to offer this, so that it does show a cap that when we do get there that we are fiscally responsible. And I think that at $85, what it does too is, for what it's worth, with the ferries, they get the fuel trigger cap in there to fuel that, so they got additional money for the ferries would come in there that reduce costs, or additional funds that go to the ferries because of more oil. For that, because I believe that's about at $80, so that would allow more money to go there still. But again, it does show, I think, that this legislature does have an interest in future fiscal restraints to try and moderate the growth of the state of Alaska, which I believe the people of Alaska have asked us to do. And so that's why I support this and ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Any other comments? Is the objection still maintained?
It was your objection.
Then it's still maintained.
Okay.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
No.
Representative Clayman.
No.
Representative Cobb.
Yes.
Co-Chair Wohl.
No.
Co-Chair Stutes.
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
With a vote of 3 yeas and 4 nays, the amendment fails to pass. Are there any other comments from the committee concerning this bill? We've had 6 hearings on this. Oh, Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the record, I'm still not comfortable with HB 60 as it's written and as it has been amended. I feel that there are still many parts of the bill that truly hit one part of Alaska versus another, which I'm not comfortable with. My particular area, and I've said this more than once, and I appreciate you allowing me to say it again, for those that don't commute every day, you're not going to feel the sting. People in my area will, and especially now, seeing that other areas are going to have certain exemptions or what have you, there's inequity there. My area will be paying the full share while someone else gets a break, and that's just not right. I don't support this. I've been very verbal on that, and I maintain that I do not support it. Thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I do not support this either, because I don't think of the equities. First off, it's an increase when we're going into recession. I don't want to go through that discussion again. But I don't think it's very balanced and fair either. You know, there was an amendment to try and make it so that we could adjust the fact that and recognize the fact that we still have commercial sport fishermen who have to apply the same commercial standards as a commercial fisherman. They're both commercial operators. the professional commercial operators within the state, and this has nothing to do with the fish wars. I absolutely support our commercial fishing industries. They're very important to the state. I did support the reduction for them because I think it is important because of what they do. But I don't think it's fair to the people in all of our districts that are still sport commercial fishermen that take people out. This is not for their family. This is strictly business. They still have to buy the license and what they do. They use a lot less resources. The landing taxes go towards advertisements and other things that sport fishermen don't do when through ASME and things like that. And it's good that the industry does that to promote themselves. And that's a good thing that some of the landing taxes go into that. But, again, it's not balanced. We've got, again, 34,000 of us folks just in the Mat-Su Valley. And if we can find something that's more balanced and equitable, I would certainly appreciate that. But do I think this is fair and balanced and needed at this time when we still need further reductions? And again, Mr. Chair, I look at this whole situation that the state's going through, and I have a very difficult time saying that we're going to continue to make reductions in the budget, but on this hand, we're going to go take more money out of the public's hands while we're in a recession to put more money into state government to fund the budget. I don't understand the reasoning there, Mr. Chair, and so I will be voting no. When this comes to us, I do not support this increase in this taxes. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I just would like to make a clarification here. ASME is a totally separate tax. It's a self-imposed tax by salmon fishermen that are paying for that. The raw fish tax is 3%, of which 1.5% goes to local municipalities for infrastructure in their communities, and the other 1.5% goes to the state of Alaska, just for clarification purposes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments? I will say a couple things. Some of which to address Representative Newman's comments, but and that is people drive, people use trucks, people use planes, people use boats, and they use fuel, and it all has it requires infrastructure, and it all has a cost to our state, whether use of infrastructure or resources used up or any of these things. If all the money from this fuel tax goes into DOT and DOT spends it on all these things, it's still not enough. We obviously need more general fund dollars going to DOT. This just helps them out in certain areas. And as far as driving 50 miles, 100 miles a day, and I appreciate Representative Sullivan Leonard's comments about that. There are other places in the state where people do drive a lot. I personally drive a lot in my hometown. I use a lot of gas. I tear up a lot of roads, inevitably. I don't try to, but just by driving on roads, I do. Maybe I will get a car that gets better mileage in the future, and maybe maybe everyone will, and in fact, I think by federal law, we all will be driving cars that get better mileage, but the roads won't know that necessarily. They'll still get worn down, so we will be buying less gas. And as far as basically, you know, I think we need the revenue. This is the time of the state being in a tough fiscal position, and we can make cuts and we can be smart about them, but we need to put some more revenue in the account. And as much as I don't want to pay any more than anyone else does for gas or for other things, I think we have to do it. It hasn't been raised in many decades, and it's one of the lowest in the country, at least for motor fuel. And motor fuel is the biggest component of this revenue package. So with that, we've had 6 hearings on the bill. We've had public testimony. We have testimony from industry, and I intend to move this bill out of committee today. So, Madam Co-Chair, we have a motion.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move to report committee substitute House Bill 60, Transportation, Version D, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
I'll object.
We have an objection. Representative Sullivan Leonard, you want to speak to your objection?
No.
Okay.
Just object.
So, were there an objection? We will have a roll call on the vote.
Point of order. The vote is to move the bill out of committee, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Secretary, we can have the roll call to move the
book. Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Representative Clayman?
Yes.
Representative Cobb?
Yes.
Co-Chair Stutes?
Yes.
Co-Chair Wool?
Yes.
5 yeas, 2 nays.
With a vote of 5 yeas and 2 nays. This bill is moved out of committee. CSHB 60 is moved from committee. With that, that concludes our business for today. Our next meeting will be on Tuesday. We'll be hearing HB 132, an act relating to transportation network companies and transportation network company drivers, and SB 3, small vessel wastewater exemption, 1% ART. And members may stay and sign the report. Committee report for HB 60. And with that, at 2:21, meeting will be adjourned.